I have some exciting news for those of you who wish that you could be nearer to Hillsdale College. Now, you can be a part of Hillsdale, no matter where you are in the world. In addition to their free online courses, Hillsdale College has created something new, the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. It allows you to learn even more from Hillsdale anywhere at any time. And on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network, you'll hear podcasts that feature conversations with Hillsdale College faculty, staff, friends, alumni, as well as visiting speakers and authors discussing everything from philosophy to theology to history, economics, politics, and current events. Listen to hundreds of episodes on the network, from the Hillsdale Dialogues to the radio-free Hillsdale Hour to the Larry Arnn Show, all for free. Get informed and entertained at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com, and learn more about their free online courses and the new Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That's dana4hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, changing hearts.
So the bottom line is there are two things that matter. One is, how are we going to hold the Biden Department of Justice accountable? The first answer is that yesterday I submitted a Freedom of Information Act request, a demand to the Biden Department of Justice, demanding, what did Biden tell Jack Smith? What did Biden tell Merrick Garland? What did Merrick Garland tell Special Prosecutor Jack Smith? They are required within 20 business days to give us an answer about any direct or indirect communications. And the first announcement I want to make today is that if they do not comply with the law in the next 20 business days, then we will sue them in federal courts at our campaign's expense to get to the bottom of those answers.
Well, he really wants a cabinet position. First off, welcome. You guys knew I was going to say something. Welcome to the show. Here's the thing. I don't think that that's wrong, but I still think he's trying for a cabinet position. Come on. You guys can think it. Just stop being polite. Come on. It's ridiculous. We're not in this to make friends. Okay. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. It's the Circus Maximus today. Where all the people in the media are going to act like this is not a witch hunt. But I will say, look, I know people are, I'm going to dive into this. First off, greetings and salutations. Dana Lash here with you, top of this first hour on Tuesday. And it's what, it's going to be, what, at like 1 p.m. Central-ish?
Of the arraignment?
Yeah.
2 Central.
2 Central. Oh, so literally right as we're getting off air. That's what I was thinking. I'm like dealing with time zones today. I'm on the struggle bus for some reason. So you're going to have like the media, they're going to have like the choppers and everybody's, they're going to be following him and like he's OJ or something, you know, going down to the courthouse and oh my gosh, the drama and weeping and gnashing of the teeth. It's going to be crazy. So you're going to get that all later today. They've been doing it since yesterday, the media, right? They are obsessed with this stuff. Meanwhile, anything about the Hunter tapes, the Joe tapes? Where's the media? Where's the live stream on that? Oh, that's right, because it's different. It's different. So welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream. You can watch the simulcast of the radio program, YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. Look, some of y'all are going to get mad at me because I'm saying there's something to the charges, but that does not take away from the fact that, yes, it's politically motivated. Yes, there's something to the charges. Yes, it's politically motivated. All of these things can be true. Saying the obvious doesn't mean that you dislike the individual or subject in which you are just observing the obvious. I want to run headfirst into a brick wall because I mean, every now and then I get somebody gets mad at me like, I can't believe you know, you would say something. I'm literally telling you what the nature of the game is. I would be a horrible hostess if I was lying to you and blowing smoke out of my ass in your ears. It would be awful, wouldn't it? Would I be doing you a service if I was lying to you? If I just told you things that were only to my particular perspective's advantage, it would be a very different show. But that's not what I do, nor do I enjoy doing that. So I'm just telling you as it is. Sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. Sometimes it'll be comfortable. Sometimes it's going to be great. But, you know, bottom line is that this is the nature of the situation. So we went over some of that yesterday. We're going to talk to my friend Andy McCarthy here coming up because he's a very clinical person. He's very clinical in how he looks at this. I mean, obviously, and can I just be right? Andy's right, Lenny. Come on. Let's like not pretend that he's not. But
he's
I think He's right leaning, but he's so clinical and so to the letter of the law because he's very John Adams about things. Oh, he is. Remember, John Adams made everybody mad because he defended the Redcoats after the Boston, when Crispus Attucks was the first person to drop, you know, in Boston. And then after that, I was trying to remember the number of there were a handful of British soldiers and they needed defense. They needed representation. And John Adams was asked if he would do it. And a lot of the founders were just shocked, or not founders, but a lot of the colonials who were sympathetic to that cause were shocked at the time. They were like, why would you do this? Why would you? You're turning your back on all of this. And he said, no, I'm not. The whole purpose of the Republic is that we are every person is equal before the law and under it. And we cannot have the very first step that this nation takes to betray that principle. What he did helped establish the United States of America as the republic it is today, even though at the time it looked as though I honestly don't think he was compromising on anything, even if you were looking at it in the context of the times. I mean, he was. Realize that if the United States is going to be this beacon and the United States is going to have this just system and we are going to have due process, then that has to be followed, even when it is at someone's disadvantage to someone else or themselves. And so long story short, I think Andy has a very Adams-esque approach to this stuff. So I value his opinion. We're going to talk to him here a little bit later about all of that. But I have so much to get started with you guys on. Oh, my gosh, the latest. I mean, nothing's changed. All the big news with the indictment is going to be this week. That's it. I know Radio America was like, oh, I think there's going to be something big next week. No, there's not. It's all this week. Then it's going to go to sleep. That's how this works. It's going to be all crazy this week. Nothing's going to happen until weeks from now. So everybody calm. And this is just the media spectacle of it. That's all this is. This is the media spectacle of it. So we have, and I'm going to get into all of that as well. These charges, if it proves true in court, you know, we shall see. And that's something that, because I think there's going to be more stuff that comes out as they try to argue and defend the prosecution anyway, their position. Can we please talk about the thing that I unfortunately saw last night? It was one of the last things I saw before trying to close my computer and go to bed. Has anyone invented eye bleach yet?
Unfortunately, no.
I had one of you. Gosh, it was the funniest thing ever. One of my first emails this morning. I'm so glad you didn't put that in the prep email. I was dying laughing this morning. Some of the comments you guys give me, it's hysterical. So, all right. I didn't put it in the prep email because I thought some of you guys may not like this with your, you know, eggs and bacon in the morning. It had to do 3 days ago now at the Pride thing, a Pride celebration that they had at the White House. Right. Remember that? You don't remember it because you weren't there. We didn't pay attention to it because no, they had the I don't know why they were celebrating how people have the sex at the White House game. You know that. Mm-hmm. Very important. I mean, it's so important that you have to violate code in terms of how you hang the American flag. So they used the flag as bookends for, was it the alphabet flag? Because there are different colors on it.
Yeah, I think it
was like the rainbow flag, and then there was like the weird pastel colors, but then they had the brown black thing with the gray thing. I don't even know what this is anymore. I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking at. Well, they had that in the middle, and then they used the American flag as some kind of bookend. I don't know how else to say it. Like, it was like they treated it like a bookend. Yeah. And they had it hung at the same level, which we all know is big, bad no-nos. Okay. So I saw this yesterday because there was a lot of video going around, and it included this one woman who identifies as a woman and calls himself Rose Montoya. And they decided, he and some of the other women who identify as men decided to go topless at the White House to celebrate Pride. And I had tweeted it last night. I said, no, this isn't another hookers and blow photo from Hunter's laptop. It's the Pride party on the White House lawn 2 days ago, hosted by Joe. And they didn't hang the American flag according to code. I can't even actually show you the video because it's, wait, they said they were going to bring decency back, though.
Yeah.
Didn't Jill tweet to vote for decency?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Remember when they got mad at Melania's Christmas decorations? Hold up. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold up. Let's go back for a second. Do you remember her Christmas decorations, Melania Trump? I actually thought they were pretty cool with a goth aesthetic, so I was pleased. But everybody else lost their mind. The left loses their mind. Anything a Republican does, or anyone Republican adjacent, lost their minds. And then you have a bunch of basically transvestite strippers on the White House lawn shaking it, topless. No joke. On the South Lawn of the White House. The South Lawn of the White House. That was their big celebration. Now, again, I mean, I would understand how if you would have seen some of the screenshots, etc., you would think, wow, is this more stuff from Hunter's laptop? No, Joe's hosting it, which explains, you know, something about apples falling from trees and stuff. Joe hosted it. I mean, it does totally look like a Hunter Biden. Did Hunter plan this? Wait, hold up. Did Hunter Biden plan the White House Pride celebration? Whatever. On the South Lawn? Because it looks like he would. It looks like he did. This is what they did on Saturday. On the White House lawn. And then they had the American flag, like I said, hung on either side. Two American flags hung on either side of the, you know, Pride flag. How is that? Are you trying to get people to not like you? Are you trying to run people away from your movement? Because this is how you run people away from your movement. I'm just saying, this is how it's done. This is how you do it. This is wild. And she said, well, it's not legal. It's not illegal. Not she. I was quoting the one woman who had her breast removed and was topless in one of the photos. The guy who had breast implants and was going topless was saying that it wasn't illegal to be topless in Washington, D.C. He said he had the honor of attending the White House Pride and the Pride flag flew for the first time. And he says that when he was criticized, the man who has the breast implants, he was saying that it wasn't illegal for him to be without a shirt. This isn't a question of legal or illegal. It's a question of this. You're treating the White House South Lawn like a kegger. This is like trash stuff. This is trash stuff is what it is. I have other observations about the attire and appearance of people, but I'm just going to skip on past right now because I'm trying to be good, Kame. So we had this. I also saw a video where they were hanging pride flags in Britain and they had the British flag, the Union Jack, and they dropped it to the ground. I love the guy who was yelling at him, though. I can't play any of that because you can imagine, right? But it's like, you know, how to win a war without firing a single shot. It's what it seemed like. It's out of hand entirely. And all of the other letters are getting all taken down to the depths by the T. That's what's happening. So in addition to this, speaking of the Bidens, I'm sure you saw Chuck Grassley's presser yesterday. He went public with this. An FBI informant says So Burisma executives recorded Joe and Hunter. There's audio. There's recordings of Joe and Hunter. They wanted to save themselves. They were trying to protect themselves. This was their insurance policy against Joe and Hunter. Unbelievable. We're going to dive into this because Grassley also said, remember that FD 1023 file? So they finally showed a little bit of their cards last night. Grassley said, yeah, we saw it. The FBI didn't want to release it and they kept telling us it didn't exist, but we saw it before they even. So it's like parents, you know, when you were a kid and you did something wrong, or maybe you do this now with your kids and you ask your kids something. And you know the answer already. It's why I always say cover up is worse than the crime sometimes, guys. You know what the answer is and you ask them because you're testing to see how honest they are with you. So you ask them and they lie to your face. And you know because that's what they just did with the FBI yesterday. Heaven help us. So we've got a lot. That's just the start, guys. I'm not even halfway through this whole just first segment.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. This is one of the, I saw this last night. It's one of the funniest headlines I've ever seen. Americans will do anything to not use the metric system. Isn't that right? Titanic asteroid the size of 84 orcas to pass Earth on Monday. Next Monday. Wait, what? It's a Titanic. So they say it's a Titanic asteroid the size of 84 orcas. But what is, how is that measured in sandwiches? I'm curious. They say a massive asteroid the size of 84 orcas is set to pass by Earth on Monday. They said the asteroid in question was, it's a long number and name. 480, blah, 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 blah. It's a big asteroid. It's not going to hit us. I know, Kane, we were very excited about this, but it's not SMOT. It's an imposter. It's an imposter asteroid the size of 84 orcas. Like, why? Like, how is that the size? Oh, I love sometimes media. Sometimes I really do. I do. So the Eat, Pray, Love author, Elizabeth Gilbert, by the way, I have never liked that kind of literature. I've never seen the movie. I've never read the book. Yeah, like you're supposed to pray, love, and eat. Yeah. So she said she's delaying her book because there's backlash. It's a Russian setting. And apparently it's like some, I don't know, it's some book she wrote and I'm sure it's like romance and I don't care. But anyway, they're boycotting it. It's some chick lit stuff. I don't know. I mean, golly. You know what I read on my last vacation? I read Jimmy Carter's bio. A new one. Second one I've read. Anyway, this is science and it's very important. You guys, it's very important science. A wine a day keeps the doctor at bay. Light drinkers are less likely to suffer heart problems, according to a very scientific study of scientists. They said that they did brain scans of 754 people for cancer surveillance, and they said that the first study to indicate alcohol's long-term neurobiological effects and that it's actually, it's a maximum of 2 or 3 maybe a week. It's healthy. Keeps cancer at bay. Look at that. Stay with us. Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. You can listen to the radio show coast to coast. You can stream it. You can watch the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, channel 347, DirecTV. We've been discussing this indictment, the arraignments today. joining us now. I think one of the, I was just complimenting him. I'm like, it's kind of like the John Adams of our time. Our very good friend, Andy McCarthy, who has really had some great, great analysis of all of this. He joins us via Skype. Andy, always such a pleasure. And of course, get Andy's book, Ball of Collusion. I think it's one of the best books out there talking about the, really the breakdown and degradation of our system and everything, the DOJ, all of it under the previous administration. All right. So Andy, this is, for the non-legal eagles out there, you hear people say that it's a witch hunt. You hear that it looks bad. The photos don't help. I mean, what is the real, just the very straight no chaser clinical take on this? What can people take home?
Dana, thanks so much. They're very serious charges. I'm just surprised, having worked, put the law on the side for a second, having worked national security stuff for a number of years, the breadth of information we got about the classified information stuff that Trump was holding down in Mar-a-Lago. Generally speaking, the government's really tight-lipped about that stuff. So I'm surprised by that on two levels. One is just that we got the information, but the other thing is, it seems to me that he could have tried this case or charged this case. This is Jack Smith, the special counsel. He could have charged it lean and mean and just done an obstruction case if he really wanted to get to trial quickly before the election. And I think what everybody's concerned about here is what's the impact of this on the election, right? But having opened this can of worms with the Espionage Act counts and this description of the classified information, it seems to me, if I'm defending Trump, what I come back with is we need to have much more information about what's in these classified documents, and we need to show the jury more, because they have the advantage of being in what I would call the classic Braymail situation, which is, The documents probably don't help Trump. They may even hurt him. But what helps him is that the government doesn't want to give him that information, doesn't want the jury to see the information because it's classified. So you at least can set up, number one, you set up an argument that if the court doesn't allow Trump to show more of the documents, his right to present a defense has been violated. And secondly, just the sheer amount of time that it takes to litigate these classified information issues pre-trial, I don't see how they can get to trial before the election.
Wow. Wow. So there's a lot of stuff that looks like it's staggered to happen right at the election. We're talking with our friend Andy McCarthy, best-selling author. You can also see him on Fox News, former chief assistant U.S. attorney as well, on this Trump indictment. You mentioned the Espionage Act, and the only reason that I became familiar with the Espionage Act, not being in the legal profession as you are, is during my friend James Rosen, his sure. Dalliance with the Obama DOJ under Eric Holder. And I thought it was so wild that they tried to go at him through that perspective. How does that apply here? I mean, isn't there some sort of like intent to distribute that's attached to that? I mean, is that what's required? And do you think that they have that in this case?
Yeah, it's a great question, because there's a lot of confusion out there. For example, Lindsey Graham was out inveighing over the weekend about how outrageous it was that Trump was being charged with espionage. And the thing is, he's not being charged with espionage. This is a series of crimes that are under a general heading of espionage that came into federal law in the 1917 Espionage Act. But in the federal code, if you turn to Title 18, which is the federal code, you won't see the word espionage. What I think the statute is called is something like transmitting national defense information. And it's got, Dana, a series of about, I want to say, 6-7 crimes with some subcrimes in them. And it goes from the very most severe at the very top, which is traditional espionage, the idea that you're like a mole, you purloin national defense information, and then you give it to an adversary country intending to harm the United States. So that's the very most severe. But all the way down to at the bottom, you have negligent mishandling of the information by people who are trusted to have it. And even though in the criminal law you don't usually prosecute people for negligence, this is a different situation, because public officials in the federal government who have security clearances are trained in how to handle national security information, and they make a pact in order to get access to it that they will follow the rules for handling it. So they are prosecuted if they exhibit gross negligence in the mishandling of it. So you have very severe crimes at the top, not so severe at the bottom, like anything that you would call espionage. Trump is kind of charged with something in the middle. He's charged with willfully retaining classified information under circumstances where he was no longer authorized to have it, and he refused to return it to the government upon demand. So that doesn't require any intent to harm the country at all. Mm. And the theory behind those crimes is just that some of this high-level stuff, like, for example, if he's got documents that talk about the military vulnerabilities of the United States, some of it is so dangerous to the country if it falls into the wrong hands that they're treated as pretty serious felonies, even though, you know, whenever you get these officials who get charged, the minute they, the first thing they say is, there's no evidence that he tried to harm the country. Well, yes, there's no evidence of a lot of things, but that's not what you charge him, you know?
Yeah, they had some, in this indictment, they discussed him showing some of this information, I think, to a reporter. There was one, and we're talking with our friend Andy McCarthy, a best-selling author. There was one incident, too, where they mentioned he was showing off something related to Iran. And when I was deep diving into, you know, some of the details of these charges, now there is, from what I understand, there's like a whole other bunch of statutes that relate to anything nuclear, anything that's related to national defense, which that surely would be one. And I guess that's the other bundle under which they're charging him.
Yeah, well, this is one of the things, Dana, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but Trump, ever since the Mar-a-Lago search, one of the things that Trump has said publicly again and again and again is that he declassified all of these documents. Right. And I have never been impressed with that argument. I mean, I understand rhetorically and politically why he does it, but it is not a defense for the very reasons you just articulated with respect to the kinds of information we're talking about. The Espionage Act does not mention classified information. It says national defense information. So even if he declassified stuff, which there's no evidence that he actually did, but let's say for argument's sake he did, that's not a defense to possessing national defense information, because whether it's classified or not is only evidence of whether it's national defense information. It doesn't settle the question. So if you have a document that's about the national defense, then that's national defense information, whether he declassified it or not. And then with respect to the obstruction counts, they didn't want to get into the morass of whether Trump had declassified or not. So in the grand jury subpoena, they didn't ask for any classified documents in your possession. They asked for any documents with physical classification markings on the document. Mm-hmm. So whether he declassified it or not, he was still required to surrender it under the subpoena. Yeah. So I think, you know, he's talked a lot about declassification. But when you're in this thicket of, as you say, nuclear code information, military information, it's really just not a defense.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. It does look like kind of like a mess. We're talking with our friend Andy McCarthy. One of the other things, and this is one of the big questions I wanted to ask you, I keep hearing about the Clinton sock drawer as the defense. And this was related to a case that Judicial Watch had brought some years ago with information that had apparently been squirreled away in Clinton's sock drawer at the time. And the reason that I understand, and that apparently doesn't apply as some sort of precedent to be able to be used by defense in this case, from what I understand, because it was a circuit court ruling or a circuit ruling. Why is that?
No, it's a district court ruling.
Okay.
The problem with it is it doesn't help Trump. You know, what you were hearing is their spin on what the case said. But here's what it involves. When Clinton was president, he made an arrangement with this historian to try to cobble together how do I say this with respect to Clinton? Well, I'll just say it. An oral history of the Clinton president. So they made a bunch of these tapes during the 8 years, and some of them Clinton kept in his sock drawer. But the problem that Trump has with that is, first of all, the tapes were not classified. They were like an aide memoir for Clinton, almost serving the same purpose as a diary, which in the Presidential Records Act, that's the kind of stuff that can be personal property.
Right.
So they're not classified. They're presidential they're presidential personal property. And the other thing is, Clinton decided that they were personal property while he was president. So with Trump, what you're dealing with is, number one, you're talking about agency reports from the intelligence agencies. Those are not presidential records, far from being, you know, personal records. They're not even presidential records. They're records of agency activity. I don't even think they come under the Presidential Records Act.
That's interesting.
They're classified, and there's no evidence that he did anything to designate them as personal property while he was president, which is natural, because if a president tried to designate his personal property a bunch of CIA reporting about, like, the vulnerabilities of the country, that would be a problem.
Yeah.
So that's obviously why he didn't do it. But once he's not president anymore, he doesn't have the power to designate it as personal property.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't help him.
Yeah, I have two last questions for you. We're talking with Andy McCarthy. You can read him at National Review. You can watch him on Fox. You can read his latest, Ball of Collusion, fantastic book as well. So the comparisons to, we just talked about the Clintons, but also the Bidens, everyone's asking, which, and I'm one of them, you know, it seems like a long time coming that there are no charges, especially in some of the, you know, the investigation that dates back to 2018 with Biden and the, you know, questionable financial transactions, et cetera. I always maintain that, you know, yes, there's probably a disparity there in treatment, and that, you know, it does cause people to question the strength of the law if it looks like it's being unequally applied. But that doesn't mean that if they prove their case, that wrong wasn't done here. What do you say to people? How do you explain it to people when they say, well, you know, you have the Bidens that, you know, clearly there's some kind of criminal activity going on. I guess the investigation is ongoing, but it does seem like everything was very expedited in this case with the former president and these charges, which makes it seem politically motivated. How do we reconcile that?
I'm with you. I think this is a huge problem. So the Hillary Clinton precedent, you know, I think that argument takes you only so far, because the travesty with Hillary Clinton is not that Trump is being charged, it's that she wasn't charged.
Yeah.
And if we say that, you know, the Hillary Clinton precedent is an ironclad, immutable rule, first of all, it's obviously not, because they charged Trump, even though he basically did the same thing. But, you know, the logic of taking that position is that we could never again prosecute high level officials who, you know, play games with national security information, which can't be right. But the only way the Biden people are going to be credible on this is if you demonstrate that there's one standard of justice and that Biden is getting the same treatment Trump is. And so far, that's not even close to being the case. So to my mind, if we're going to have an actual functioning justice system, which is essential to having a flourishing democratic society, it's got to be a situation where you not only have one system of justice, but people have to believe you have one system of justice.
Right.
And if they don't, like, for example, I wrote a piece for the New York Post over the weekend saying, now that we have this indictment and they itemized all of the classified information that Trump had, let's get an itemized list of all the classified information Biden had. Let's see it.
And
you mentioned the Biden corruption investigation. Where is that? It's 5 years. Nothing has happened. And even worse, there was no basis to have a special counsel in the Trump case.
Yeah.
There's no reason that the Biden Justice Department couldn't have done that case, as they were doing for a year and a half.
Exactly.
So that was just a political appointment. Where's the special counsel on the Biden Justice Department investigating the Bidens? And why isn't every journalist in America screaming about that? Well, I'm ranting because we know why they're not screaming about it, but it's just outrageous.
It is outrageous. Last quick question for you. Miami, apparently being in Southern Florida, that's going to help him in this case, as opposed to if this trial was going to take place in, like, D.C.
Yeah, I think you know, DC is the worst place on the planet for him to bring the case. And I must say, you know, there's a lot of Democrats now who are complaining about this. The judge who caught this case in Miami is Judge Aileen Cannon, who we learned about a few months ago, who was a Trump appointee. And they're all upset that, like, she may be, you know, more favorable to him than what he would have gotten in Washington. But I got to say, you know, I mean, they set up shop in Washington in a case where everything happened in Florida. And it was only reluctantly at the very end that they realized if we want to bring the case we want to bring, we have to bring it in Florida because there's not venue on a lot of the stuff in Washington. But for them to have forum shopped the way they did and gotten a Washington judge to say that Trump had no attorney-client privilege, which may end up, that lawyer's testimony may be the most damaging testimony in the case.
Something else. Now
they're going to complain?
Yeah, we have to get moving. Andy McCarthy, I'm always so grateful for your expertise. And as always, you do such a great job breaking it down. Ball of Collusion, the plot to rig an election and destroy a presidency. If you haven't gotten it, you should. Andy McCarthy, follow him on Twitter as well. Andy, thank you so much. We so appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you, Dana.
Of course. Take care. When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
I saw this story from Time Magazine. They say that tequila is about to become the United States' most popular spirit, but they're upset because they say it's bad for the environment.
What?
Yeah, whiskey's third place now. Vodka's second. Dude, I like vodka, but okay.
Scotch?
Yeah. But they said that tequila, because you have to use the blue agave and it's from five Mexican states and But they said no, because it has to grow in a specific spot. So it has to be trucked. Where do you think your avocados for your avocado toast come from? You blockheads. That's different. That's our avocado toast. These people are morons. Golly. Only certain things they're going to object to. I don't know. I think they pollute. I think they're bad for the environment. Yeah. I really do. I think they're bad for the environment. We have a whole second hour on the way. The White House now, a little too late. They banned that one of the transgender activists who went topless at the Pride Festival on the South Lawn. They blocked them. I'll explain. Stay with us.
That the foreign national who allegedly bribed Joe and Hunter Biden allegedly has audio recordings of his conversation with them. 17 such recordings. According to the 1023, the foreign national possesses 15 audio recordings of phone calls between him and Hunter Biden. According to the 1023, the foreign national possesses 2 audio recordings of phone calls between him and then Vice President Joe Biden. These recordings were allegedly kept as a sort of insurance policy for the foreign national in case that he got into a tight spot. The 1023 also indicates that then Vice President Joe Biden may have been involved in Burisma employing Hunter Biden.
Ooh, you know that people are going to cover their backsides. That's exactly what happened here. Burisma executives thought the Bidens were shady, and they decided that they were going to just make sure they had a little insurance policy. And so they had some recordings to protect themselves. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this second hour this Tuesday. It's arraignment day. Well, we're not going to be like the media and live stream everything like that's happening right outside the courthouse. Look, there he is in his car. It looks like he thought about rolling down the window. It's a headline. I mean, they go overboard. They've been stalking him since yesterday. It's kind of hysterical. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Listen coast to coast. You can watch the simulcast of the radio program, YouTube, where there's always a fun discussion. Facebook channel 347 DirecTV. So this is, that was Chuck Grassley, one of the senior senators out of Iowa, saying that there's 17 recordings of that Burisma executives have, and that they kept them as an insurance policy. It's a foreign national that bribed the Bidens, and he has all these audio recordings of their conversation. And I mean, just, it's pretty sus, bro. Saying. It's this big millions, multi-million dollar bribery scheme. Now, he also said, Grassley said, that FD 1023 file that they have, the FBI has in their possession, they showed it to members of House Oversight with some redactions. And Grassley's been working with House Oversight Chair James Comer. They've been trying to get more information from the FBI on this. And they dropped this bombshell yesterday. Yes, well, there are 17 such recordings. According to the 1023, there's 15 that they have. And then he says there's also additional ones. They were kept as an insurance policy in case this Burisma executive, in case the Bidens try to screw him over. Remember, Chris Ray was trying to hide all of this. It's very interesting. So it is a wow. So he's being blackmailed, is the way it sounds like. So Joe Biden is being blackmailed. And if you really, there's no other way to put it. I mean, it is blackmailing. All these different audio recordings between him and Hunter Biden. He has 17 total, 15 recorded discussions between him and Hunter Biden, two with then Vice President Joe Biden. And he says that he had evidence of payments to the Bidens, all kinds of stuff. Now, they didn't get into any further detail about what that looked like, but they said that they got lots of receipts. So they just said that they kept these recordings. They have them. They didn't say anything else like where they were, if they had them on their person, none of that. If Burisma executives were actually paying out cash money and they were keeping recordings of the Bidens for insurance, Kane, you know, it would be amazing if we had like a profession in our country where people could go and ask questions of and about, you know, these politicians, and then write it up and put it out there for people.
It sounds like such a great idea that, you know, we'd have it already. But
yeah. I mean, it's amazing. It's a business idea for you, my friend.
Get working on it.
That one's for free. That's a business idea. You go and start an empire. Because apparently we don't have anything like that. This is just wild to me. So if these recordings exist, not only does this show that you have the Bidens that were selling influence, they were peddling influence from the vice president's office, but the president of the United States is literally compromised. That's what it proves. And that there is nothing objective about anything we're doing in Ukraine. I mean, how can we trust that any decision, like all the billions that we're sending over, et cetera, how can we trust that any decision that he's making is one that does it, that is like his decision, that he's got all this stuff, they've got all this stuff on him? How do we know that he's not making this decision and it's not motivated from being compromised?
The tapes.
Man, you know, if there's those recordings, there's copies on the copies of the copies and the copies of the copies and the copies of the copies. You know this. I feel like the Burisma executive needs to be super protected. This is when you spread it out. Why? Okay, here's the other question I have. Why not just give it to the press immediately? You know, the safest place for this stuff is in the hands of the press, ironically, unless they don't want to write about it. I wouldn't doubt at this point if there was a member of the press that was like, oh, yeah, they tipped us off and I sat on this stuff. You saw how intellectually curious they were when they were getting fed Oppo research that was totally not proven and the FBI wouldn't even validate it. And they were being fed this by the Clinton campaign. It was being laundered through Fusion GPS and they laundered it through all these reporters. And these reporters were like, yeah, it seems good. I get a scoop. I'll probably go viral. Mm. They were all excited. So here you have, and this 1023 form, this has been going on since 2017. That's when apparently the FBI first learned of this whole scheme. So then they created the 1023 in 2020. And they've been sitting on all of this for how long? How long have they been? That's wild. No charges. Where's those charges at? Oh, yeah. I mean, listen to this. So he was asked about Burisma and Hunter here. Listen to this. This is flashback audio soundbite 19.
Hunter Biden, your son, was getting paid a lot of money to serve on the board of a Ukrainian energy company facing serious corruption charges. You were the vice president running point on Ukraine. The average Joe hears that and says, that sounds fishy. What's your understanding of what your son was doing for an extraordinary amount of money?
I don't know what he was doing. I know he was on the board. I found out he was on the board after he was on the board. And that was it. And there's nobody.
Well, you've had a lot of time. Isn't this something you want to get to the bottom of?
No, because I trust my son.
But that doesn't pass the smell test. Like when you're vice president, isn't there a higher standard? Don't you need to know what's happening with your family? Don't you need to put down some guardrails?
Unless there was something that was something on its face that was wrong. There's nothing on its face that was wrong. So look, if you want to talk about problems, you know, let's talk about Trump's family. I mean, come on. This is
so.
Yeah, well, you know what? You can't really, because it's your family that was peddling influence. Peddling influence.
Now we have the tapes.
Yeah, let's release the tapes. There's so much more evidence there. Oh, my gosh. I just saw. What is it? What's the headline? Trump struggled to fill out a legal something. What was it? What's the headline? They're free.
It says,
what is it?
Says Trump struggles to fill out legal team fees. I don't know what that was.
Oh my gosh. The like way that they're flipping
through.
Out
I think they
everything.
Took it off the screen because it didn't really make a lot
stupid.
Of sense.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to come back to this and we have the ongoing indictment. Trump is heading to the courthouse and you're going to get nonstop. He's in the car. The car's up. We're at a stoplight, and now the car, it's going to be nonstop every second. So remember we were telling you about the White House Pride Parade that they had on the South Lawn, the Pride Party that they had on the South Lawn, and you had a man who identifies as a woman and got breast implants who went topless, and women who identify as men and had breast removals and went topless. So the White House has banned what they said was disrespectful topless trans influencer Rose Montoya. And it was a statement to the Post today, just a little bit ago. The White House spokesperson said that Montoya flouted basic etiquette and is persona non grata at future events. They said the behavior is inappropriate and disrespectful for any event at the White House. Hi, have you ever been to a Pride event? Even the tamest, most vanilla wafered events feature some sort of nudity. You just didn't think about that? Oh, that's probably why they wanted it. I mean, it is the Bidens, after all. But what did you think? And then the way that they hung the American flag is supposed to be the highest. It's supposed to be in the middle, et cetera, et cetera. They violated code. So there was a question from, or a response from that, what is it, that the Rose Montoya, the guy who identifies as a woman. I was looking at this because I ended up losing my spot here. The comment that he made was, quote, going topless in DC is legal. I fully support the movement to free the nipples. Where's my chest? Why is my chest not deemed inappropriate or illegal when I show it off? However, before coming out as trans, it was not. All you're doing is affirming I'm a woman. Yeah, that's the thing. We're saying that neither. I mean, I was very specific too when I said I don't want to see the women who identify as men with their breast removal scars either, and no one should be taking their shirts off out on the White House lawn. Just because you're trans doesn't mean that boundaries don't exist for you. Okay, Just because you want to identify and cosplay as a different sex does not mean that the boundaries aren't there for you. That is so stupid. Good grief. Well, but I'm trans, so I can do what I want. No, that's not what it means. It means it's trashy for anybody to do it. Oh my gosh. Like one of the, you know, you just suck at being a woman. You're horrible at it because you act like a trashy male hoe. You do. You're so bad at being a woman. Women don't, ladies don't act like that. And one of the first things about being a woman is you got to learn how to be a lady. And that is not lady behavior. You can get as big implants as you want, dude, but that's not lady behavior. You know what it is? You're diminishing, if you really are trying to be a woman, you're diminishing women by acting like a tramp. You're at the White House? Shut up. Gosh, this aggravates me so much. It's so ridiculous. No pun intended.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So we have a whole theory here on the Dana Show. I think Pat Sajak is a vampire. He has been at Wheel of Fortune, the host of Wheel of Fortune, since I was a little kid. I remember because when Wheel of Fortune came on, that's dinner's almost ready. That's what that meant. Dinner is almost ready. It's cooking when the news is on. And then when Wheel of Fortune's on, it was, oh, it's just dinner time. So it's about dinner time. So he's 76. He says that he is leaving Wheel of Fortune after 40 years. This is 41st season is going to be his last with the show. Nobody knows who's, you know, going to take over. Some people are like, his daughter, maybe Maggie Sajak. Okay, I'd be all right with that. Can she like do his, like he has a pattern of enunciation that I think she's got to match. So she could do it. Yeah, she could do it. You got to keep Vanna there. Got to keep Vanna there. She got to keep turning them letters. With all the technology today, can't replace Vanna. All right. Apparently, let's see, planets and stuff. Scientists don't know what these mysterious planets are made of. They found four newly discovered worlds unlike anything in our solar system. They said it might be a missing link between Earth, Earth twins, and Neptune-like planets. They're called exoplanets. They've been labeled mini-Neptunes. They're smaller and cooler than the easier-to-spot hot Jupiters throughout the galaxy. They were detected using two space telescopes, one belonging to NASA, the other the European Space Agency in Switzerland. So they're trying to discover the evolution of planets by studying these mini-Neptunes. It's interesting. Let's see. Canadian wildfires could intensify and last all summer long because Canada can't manage trees because Trudeau's too busy jailing truckers. 17,800 square miles have been burned since the beginning of the year, and it has nothing to do with climate change and everything to do with their government being ridiculous. That's what happens when you have no forest management. Literally, that's what this is. No forest management. Hotel owners start to write off, well, because they're having a lot of problems. This is a Wall Street Journal piece. They're starting to write off San Francisco as the business's nosedive. So you had Park Hotels and Resorts, and now apparently other ones are looking into the same thing, including, they said, a number of big hotels there in downtown San Francisco. They're all looking at, because everything, nobody's going there. They're not making any money. American Airlines flight makes emergency landing after a hydraulics failure. An AA flight was forced to make an emergency landing at LA International Airport, halting its flight to Boston after suffering complete hydraulic failure. They said everyone was safe. Thankfully there was nothing wrong. They said that they got the craft landed and they were addressing the issue. And then, let's see, there's, oh goodness, what? Oh, crash UFO recovered. There's this whistleblower who says that this one UFO they recovered could distort space and time. My husband says it's Wag the Dog, and I shouldn't be as excited about this stuff as I am. We'll see. Woo! Stay with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
Is there any more information you can give on why he needed the root canal? Like, is he not good at brushing his teeth? Or does he need to floss better or anything like
that? Wow, are you talking to the millions of Americans across the country? You can ask them that question, too.
I did a little research this morning.
I mean, look, I am certainly not a dentist by any means, so I cannot speak to what leads to a root canal.
Wow, I'm made of questions. That was a reporter asking KJP this yesterday at the White House press conference. And I would think you would ask, so about those recordings that Chuck Grassley was talking about, can you, 15 of them with Burisma executives and Hunter, two of them with Joe Biden as vice president, do you got any? No, it's, why did he go to the dentist? Like, why does he have to have a root canal? Is it because he doesn't brush his teeth? This is our press. Welcome back to the show. I know. I'm with you all. This is why, apparently. Yeah. Bottom of the second hour. So,
I'm not a dentist or anything, but I can speculate that all the damn ice cream he's been eating is probably a contributor to the root canal.
You think?
But I'm no journalist or anything. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I can tell because your question sounded educated. It shows, Kane. Damn you and your smarts.
We have chocolate chip ice cream.
I know. Or as they call them in Shoresy, sticks. These sticks are unbelievable. The drumsticks. Get a victory stick. Sticks are amazing. So if you haven't, this is the funniest show ever. So that was the question that they were asking. It was that. That's the kind of stuff they're asking. Not like, you know, none of this, none of the other stuff. Like 17 recordings. What did they talk about? What'd they talk about? I'm curious. What conversation did they have on those? The media, by the way, they're doing their whole thing where they're watching Trump. They shut down one of the highways, I guess, so he could head to the courthouse. I'm surprised they're not breathlessly reporting to you every, like, how many miles per hour he's going. Or how straight within the lane the driver's staying. I mean, this is what they love. They love the aerial footage. It's an aerial shot. Oh, it's an aerial shot. Prepare. It's like, what about Bob? When Richard Dreyfuss was getting ready to do his morning interview and he was trying to set up his book shot. And they're like, where do you think you want to do this? Well, I was thinking about standing in front of the fireplace. It's a fireplace shot. And they just yell it to the production team. It's an aerial shot. That's what it is. Got the sirens all going. He's going there to, and then it's going to be mayhem. I hope everybody minds their P's and Q's, because the media would love nothing more than for people to be silly. They would love nothing more for people to be silly. They would love it. And the left would love it too. They need something on this. I cannot believe here's how you know Biden's a bad president. Even with all of the stuff that's happening with in the news with Trump and all of this other stuff here, Biden's the incumbent going for renomination. He still doesn't have super high approval with his own party. That's kind of wild to think of it. Now, Trump was at the Doral in Florida. I've stayed there before at that hotel. I went down there for one event that they had. It's a very nice hotel. It's a very comfortable bed. The staff is very nice there at the Doral. They're like ridiculously nice there. They're so nice at that hotel. You almost wonder if they're serial killers. They're that nice. You know what I mean? Because do you ever like meet, like when you go somewhere and like people are so incredibly kind and nice, you're like, why? Am I the only person who thinks that? Like, wait, why are you like this? You're going to kill me, aren't you? I don't know what happens. That's how I think. They were so nice. Like, the rooms were clean. I just feel like, I don't know why I feel like telling you that, but I do. I immediately, the next morning when I stayed there, I called down the front desk and was like, all right, y'all got to be telling me about these mattresses. I'm like, because this is a comfortable mattress. I need to know, where can I procure this mattress? It's very comfortable. So he was at the Doral. He's going to the courthouse. They got traffic stopped, all this stuff. So it's going to be nonstop craziness. Apparently, the people that are assembled there, I guess they're taking him in a different way. So they said they're not even going to be able, you're not even going to be able to see anything. So we'll get it when he steps out of the car, when he takes a step, takes another step, breathes and blinks. We'll give you the latest. The media is crazy. You know why they're going to talk about this? So they don't got to talk about how you've got 17 recordings. You have 17 recordings. How is that not the top story? Do you know? Well, you do. But Media Research Center was saying that last night, the network spent 49 minutes on talking about all this stuff with the Trump stuff, and approximately 0 seconds on the Biden recordings. That seems like a very big deal. Whether or not the president of the United States is compromised. But they don't care. They're going to pretend they're really upset over the thing that they were not upset about with Clinton and Biden. I love that. This is the part of the story where Democrats get really upset about an issue that didn't bother them with Biden and Clinton. Well, wait, why does it matter now? Oh, this wasn't a big deal with Clinton. Oh, it wasn't a big deal with Joe Biden. It wasn't a big deal with, you know, any of that. But now all of a sudden it's a big deal. Look at that. Fascinating. We'll keep you updated with all this stuff. So we've been hitting the wokery all of this. Did you hear? I'm trying to run this down just to get more, if I can get another source on this. But apparently, Starbucks has been taking down some of their Pride stuff. Did you see that? Yeah, they've been taking down their Pride decorations. They say it's an unconfirmed allegation. But the one that they were looking at, they said that the Starbucks Workers United people, I don't even know what that, are those the people that want to make a union for making coffee? I don't know. Is that what that is? They said that Starbucks workers, they're reporting that they're no longer allowing Pride decorations in the stores. Can I just be real? Like, if I'm ordering food items, I really don't need you to do a celebration of how people do it. You know? Like, if I'm ordering a sandwich, or, you know, if I hated myself enough to order the over-roasted swill that they call coffee at the Starbucks, sorry, Bucks, it's a verbal typo, let's let it lie. I don't want to hear about, you know, your giddiness about the sex. I just want to get my food items, you know, my consumables, and pay for them. And then depart your premises. I don't need to have... you know what I mean? Right? It's weird, right?
Oh,
this is probably not going to make sense, but I'm going to try to make it make sense. One of the most delicious ice cream stores I ever went to, oddly enough, was in a... it was in Michigan. It was in... Oh, what's the kind of bougie part of Michigan, Traverse City. Yeah, Traverse City. I went into their airport. I thought I had gone through a portal or something, like Lion, Witch in the Wardrobe. Because when you get off the plane in Traverse City, Michigan, you spill out into what looks like someone's very comfortably appointed lodge. And that's their airport. It's a very small airport, but they have it looks like a lodge. Anyway, upon departing the airport, we went past this. We just saw a place that had ice cream, and the word escapes my mind. Kane, what is it when they stuff the animals, they stuff the animals.
Yeah. Build-A-Bear. What are you talking about?
No, like actual dead ones.
Taxidermy.
Thank you. It was an ice cream / taxidermist, ice cream parlor and taxidermy store. It was in one thing. Now you like Build-A-Bear? You gonna go make you a... Wait, hold up. You gonna go make you a Dylan Bear? Because you know the Build-A-Bear?
No, I mean taxidermy is kind of like Build-A-Bear. It's just
Build-A-Bear's fake.
Right.
Taxidermy is real.
Right, that's the only difference.
So anyway, it was an ice cream parlor that was in a taxidermy shop. And I'm like, we're going here. Because why not? And we pull in. And I'm like, it might be kind of weird. You know, it's a little weird. It didn't smell like a taxidermy shop would. I don't think they actually did all of the stretching of the skin and all of that there. I think they just transported their items there and they sold them there. But it was interesting nonetheless. So we're there and I'm, you know, getting my stick and I'm, you know, looking at the taxidermy. There was one very interesting display. It was a little raccoon and then there were a little otter and like some other little creatures that were in this little carved thing. It was like $5,000. I'm sure it was like a major amazing focal point for someone. So I'm, you know, I got my stick and I'm looking at the, you know, looking at all the taxidermy. And it was still I still liked it better because it was just taxidermy. I was looking at animals. I wasn't sitting here like, you know, with celebrating how two people decide to do it if their bits matched. It's very different. You know what I'm saying? We don't, it's, you know, when you're talking about food items, let's like keep it, you know, let's keep it to code. Okay. Let's keep it to code when we're talking food items. Just saying. I don't know. But anyway, they've been doing all that at the Starbucks. That's what they're saying on the Twitters, guys. I don't know. Is it a victory? Perhaps. I just don't think everything needs, like, they've had everything from rainbow sandwiches where they have to put, like, stuff on the sandwiches. Mouthwash will come out with rain. Oh, my gosh. Nobody cares. Stop it. If you are so weak in your life that you wake up crying because you don't know if your mouthwash affirms the way that you want to have to sex, then you need mental help. You don't need mouthwash. You need a therapist. It's just so over the top and ridiculous. Okay, so we got so much more. So I spoke at the TPUSA thing, the ladies event that was Saturday at the Gaylord, right? The Gaylord Texan, the Gaylord Hotel. Yep. It's a big hotel, Kane.
It is.
And unlike, I've never, maybe I just didn't notice it before. Maybe they got a bigger one, but they had a giant rainbow flag flying, right? You know, it's like they did it on, and apparently they told them to take it down and they said no, and there was back and forth and all this stuff. And I was like, well, I didn't think anything about the name at first of your resort, but now I'm wondering, you know, it's the Lord of the Gays. I don't know. Gaylord Hotel. Just wondering. It just made me think, you know, haha. But everything. Like, why do you, are you advertising as a safe space to get it on? Like, I don't know. What does that mean? It's so over the top. It's ridiculous. No pun intended. So the Starbucks, they said they're banning the pride stuff. I don't know if it's like a, I don't know if it is or not. If it's a, if you could say that it's a kind of victory. I don't know. Because then you have stuff like this, and we'll talk more about this here coming up, but just to put this on your table, the Blue Jays, they cut Anthony Bass after his alphabet comments the other day. Interesting. He had, all he was like, yeah, let's, you know, leave the kids alone. He was one of those, and apparently you can't say that. And he said that he stands by, he was booed by Toronto fans in his two home appearances. Then he did this whole apology. He apologized before a May 30th game. See, it's not about the apology. They don't care. They just want to ruin your life. He apologized before the game. And then he shared, because he had shared a post, he was calling for boycotts. He shared of someone else's post calling for boycotts of Target and Bud Light over the trans stuff. And all of the alphabet people want to act like he's only talking about the gays and he's not talking about the trans stuff. See, they want to conflate everything together so that it looks like it's a Mott Bailey. So instead of just criticizing, you know, medically unnecessary surgeries and hormonal abuse and all of this stuff, they want it to look like you're criticizing to gays. That's what it is. And they retreat back to that position because they think that that's an easier, more defensible position than what they're advocating for. So now the Toronto Blue Jays cut him. Even after he apologized, he was like, I'm working hard to educate myself. What do you got to educate yourself about? You didn't like the fact that they had swimsuits in the kids section telling boys to tuck their junk. What is there to be educated about? Toronto Blue Jays are a bunch of pansies. There you go. Your baseball team sucks. They suck out loud so bad. They're horrible. Our team is the heavenly team, Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals. So I can say that because we got lots of rings and pennants. So anyway, I just think that's ridiculous. See, it doesn't matter. You get one victory and then you get that. We have a lot to hit still. He's still in the car. Trump is still in the car driving. Well, he's not driving, but someone's driving him. We'll have all the latest.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So KTLA has this story where they say that this man, Donnie Adams, a Florida man at Tampa Bay, he was at a family gathering, and he was having himself a nice time. And then two of his relatives, you know, wouldn't be a family gathering unless two of your relatives got into a dispute, would it? And then they got into it, And he apparently intervened. And then when he did, one of the two of the family members arguing bit him in the leg. Okay. So he went to the hospital for a tetanus shot and antibiotics, which I'm like, what kind of bite is that? And wow, you really would do that. Like you look at your family member and be like, I need a tetanus shot. And then he goes, by the third day, my leg was sore. I couldn't walk. It was warm and painful. The infection, it was infected worse. And he went to the hospital, Pasadena Hospital in St. Petersburg, Florida. And the doctor said, I got to take you to the hospital. And they found necrotizing fasciitis. I can't even say it. It's a bacterial condition known as flesh-eating bacteria. One of the family members that bit him in the leg gave him flesh-eating bacteria. He was able to keep his leg, but he had to undergo surgery. Man, I'd be suing that family member. And he's okay now. He said it was horrific. He goes, I just had to get through it. And he could have gone into septic shock. I want to know what was in that family member's mouth who bit him. How nasty is your family member who bit you that they gave you that, right? That's nasty. I mean, we just had a whole question from a reporter asking, you know, KJP, if Biden brushes his teeth properly, don't let him bite you. We get something like this. This is wild. He kept his leg, though. Can you imagine getting bitten at a family reunion by one of your, like a second cousin, and then you get flesh-eating bacteria in the world? Stay with us. Third hour on the way.
Was that a good look for the former president to have boxes in a bathroom?
I don't know. Is it a good picture to have boxes in a garage that opens up all the time? A bathroom door locks.
So that's Kevin McCarthy. Who was asked about the press, you know, is it a good picture to have boxes in the garage? And he's like, well, the bathroom door locks. He was in a garage. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. So what am I supposed to say? That's not the best defense? That's not a good defense? What am I supposed to say? I've come to a conclusion over a break. I was going through some of my 90s rock. I've kind of come to a conclusion. So if you don't apply the law equally, you're going to wind up with people who don't want to follow the law at all. And I can promise you, I am one of the people that you want to follow the law. There's a lot of us out there that you better pray to the God above that we follow laws. I say that with every little fiber in my heart because it's like the same thing. The people that want to be left alone, you don't want to make those people get involved. You know, this is just craziness. And so I just, you know, I look at all of this and I don't know. I'm like, he's turned himself in. Everybody's at the courthouse because we're looking at some of the stuff that's in Miami. I hope everybody's peaceful. Stay peaceful. You have right here you have only one side that wants to follow law. And Andy McCarthy was on in our first hour, and he agrees 100% with me that this is there's a total discrepancy in how this is being handled. I mean, you have the left that said for years that Clinton didn't do anything. You have them defending Biden, but then, but Trump is different. If you don't apply the law equally, you're going to end up with the people that you fear the most not following the law. I mean, I don't think they want to go down that road. Just saying. I don't think people want to go down that road. Follow the law. Be grateful for the law. Right? If it wasn't for the law, I'm trying to think of this movie quote that I'm remembering. It was a good guy telling a bad guy, you know, if it wasn't if people like you exist and are able to thrive because of the law. And this is what is so frustrating about this. I'm watching some of the images and I'm watching all the people on the left, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Just I don't know. This is just it's infuriating. And that's kind of where I value our republic. And I really do feel, you know, it's really what this is. I mean, you can have the way that this has gone about has been politically motivated. Did Trump do some stuff here that's bad? That's what they're going to figure out in court. I mean, if they prove the stuff in the indictment, if they prove it, especially if they prove it in Miami. If they get a conviction in a Miami court, an area that is super solid red with that grand jury, that's tougher to sweep, folks. It's tougher to, it is what it is. However, are we supposed to recognize that, though? You have the president of the United States currently, who's actually guilty of doing worse longer, who is trying to, and it's politically motivated because he's weaponizing his DOJ to go after the former president who is now running in a primary. That is, you can't say that that's not politically motivated. I don't care what you think Trump did or what the charges are in the indictment. The one thing that you can't do is say that it's not politically motivated, because if it wasn't politically motivated, ladies and gentlemen, then you would have had Clinton and Biden charged also. But James Comey set the bar for that. James Comey was the one who said, well, you know, she didn't have the intent to distribute, so we're not. But yet, that's why I asked Andy McCarthy that question, by the way. Because that was what James Comey had said, but yet with this, doesn't matter. There's still, doesn't matter if he had the intent to distribute. I mean, that is wild. That is just two just different levels of justice here. Two levels of justice. So am I supposed to care? I mean, this is how you get people to not care about rule of law, by not honoring it. This is how you get a lawless society. I am confident. I'm going to just tell you this. I am confident of my chances of survival and success in a lawless society. Because it is the law and morality that keeps me in check. And I don't say that at all jokingly. I mean, it is the law. It is the laws of the land and the equality before and under them when broken that keep it all together. I can't emphasize that enough. They do want a lawlessness, though. They want total chaos. Those people won't do so well in chaos. Those people won't do so well if, you know, everything breaks down and goes sideways. It will never end well for those people. I think that there exists in the heart of every person a temptation for tyranny and to be a tyrant. And it's the recognition of this and the lifelong resistance against it that separates us. The people who know their faults, they know their weaknesses, and they fight against it because they despise it. They abhor it. And they fight against it. And they count it as a weakness. And the people who celebrate it as a virtue. We are different people. But make no mistake, they've never been successful in history. Not for long. This is the most dangerous thing. And that's the dangerous part of all of this. Because with everything happening in the rest of the world, and here you have this complete disregard for equal application of law at home, creating distrust and division. 2024 is it. I can't say it enough. It is it. It is it. It is it. So, again, welcome back to the show. Trump is at the courthouse. He has turned himself in. They go through the booking process and all of that. And we'll see how that. We'll see that how that happens, and because then he's going to go through, and then, you know, et cetera, et cetera. He'll come back out, and then it'll be until they go to trial. You heard Andy McCarthy say that it's probably going to be, honestly, before they actually get to trial and do all of that, it'll be next year. I was telling Kane in that earlier, because the guys at Radio America were like, oh, we think it's going to be super big next week with the indictment. It's right now, actually. It's the arraignment. And then it's going to all calm down and get chill until... It's purposely, it's all designed that way. And then it'll start ramping up towards the election. It's all by design. All by design. I have some more audio here. Because while this has been happening, then you have John Kirby and you have the Pentagon, everybody else talking about China and Taiwan. Now, remember the story that came out about, well, China has a spy base in Cuba. No, they don't. That's inaccurate. Well, it's actually inaccurate to say it's inaccurate. So Kirby was asked yesterday after we concluded our radio broadcast about the how it was inaccurate for him to say that it was inaccurate. This is audio soundbite two. And this was Kirby's very interesting response. Listen to this.
And can you just explain why you didn't confirm all of this when it was first reported last week? You said it was inaccurate, but what was inaccurate seemed to basically be the tense that they, you know, weren't going to establish but had already established this facility. Why wait till Saturday to put this out there?
I'm actually really glad you asked that question. I can tell you that we were as forthcoming as we should have been at the time the first stories appeared. There is the sensitive nature of this information is such that we just simply couldn't go into more detail even before the first story.
You couldn't go into more detail? So he's confirming how. Does it look better or worse to say, yeah, there's some stuff down there, but we don't know the extent of it, or we can't be free with the extent of it, or no, there's not, and then having to come back and go, well, you know, we couldn't be. I mean, that looks worse. There are ways to handle this. There are ways to handle this. We were talking about this with Stephen Yates yesterday because Yates had said, well, if they're only now coming up with an evac plan as it relates to Taiwan, then they're screwed because Chinese have been doing this. CCP's been doing this for decades. This was Kirby who was asked about that specific audio soundbite three, that specific issue here. Listen to this.
The Messenger has a story today saying that the administration is drafting plans to evacuate U.S. citizens from Taiwan. Can you confirm that? And that it, does it mean that, according to your assessment, the situation there could escalate sooner as predicted?
Yeah, so look, as you know, it's not routine. For it's not your routine U.S. policy to evacuate private American citizens from areas of conflict. And there's no indication at this time that current conditions in Taiwan would warrant any reconsideration of that policy.
It doesn't look good. Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't. No, that's a mess. They're a mess. Was he not allowed to say it? And then now he ends up getting caught into it? I don't know.
I'm still confused. So is our agreement with Taiwan means we'll defend them?
I don't know. It's remember, that's the vague. It's right. The ambiguity.
Exactly.
The policy of ambiguity.
So I don't know. It just seems like, why wouldn't you, as, I don't know, the global superpower, make a decision on that one way or the other instead of this like up in the air
I think the way that, because there's an agreement that the United States has with Taiwan that they have to provide weapons and there's some other and other defensive capacities but and to help them defend themselves. And then I think after that then it becomes kind of the it's a discretionary, it's up to the discretion of, well, there's a lot of things that play into that, like the nature of what happened, of the offense, and what all it entailed, and you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. But I mean, it's that policy of ambiguity, which has prolonged this. It hasn't stopped anything. It's just prolonged it. And it's allowed China to build up. That's what it's done. The policy of ambiguity has allowed them to strengthen themselves bit by bit. Didn't buy anything. We have a lot more on the way. We've got headlines coming up, too.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So the majority of Americans do not support trans athletes competing against women. 70%. There's like three new surveys out about this, by the way, say that, no, they have to compete on the same as their gender. KATUs is a very interesting story. Sucralose, a chemical found in widely used sweetener, damages human DNA, according to a new study. It's a chemical that forms when humans digest a certain type of widely used sweetener. It's called genotoxic, meaning it damages DNA, and it's sucralose. How much... like, what all is that in? They said that after that, all these several fat-soluble compounds are produced after sucralose ingestion. This is why any processed food is so bad for you. They said that the new work establishes that sucralose 6-acetate is genotoxic. That is the North Carolina State University and the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And they said that it's all that can be found in off-the-shelf sucralose even before it's consumed and metabolized. In fact, the European Food Safety Authority has a threshold of toxicological concern for all genotoxic substances that are 0.15 micrograms per person per day. They said their work suggests that the trace amounts of the sucralose 6 acetate in single daily sucralose sweetened drinks exceed that threshold. So wait, is that in my diet sodies? Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Why is that getting in my blood? What am I going to do? Should I just... Shush up, but I love my diet sodies though. What? I have one a day. What? I do. Yes. How bad is it? Oh my gosh. I want to throw the show to the side for a second and start Googling this. Hold up. All right. So let me get the rest of it. Hard liquor consumption is up. Apparently people are drinking more liquor as much now as they did during the Civil War. Makes sense. Let's see. They said the average American drinks 60% more hard liquor now than the mid 90s. I will say, I think that it's not so much due to stress and stuff. I think because the cocktail thing has taken off, right? Like mixologists, and it's like a new, they're drinking more, like the whole quote unquote fake speakeasies are back. They said that that now hard liquor, more people are drinking that more so than ever. But I do think it's because of the cocktail movement. Don't you think so? I think it's really because of that. I think it ebbs and flows, but you know, anyway. So this is pretty impressive. A 16-year-old gamer breaks the world record. Fastest typist in the world at 300 words per minute. I can type super fast, like ridiculously fast, but not 300 words per minute fast. That's pretty amazing. A 16-year-old. It's a Florida-based YouTuber called Mythical Rocket. It's pretty amazing. Stick with us. More in store.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Yeah, I'm not a culture war guy. I think it's really polarizing. Look, I on some of these issues outside, you know, with the anti-woke crowd, but to me, I'm worried about a debt crisis. I'm worried about, you know, the future of our country and China. There are big policy problems that we need to tackle if we want to have a great 21st century for this country.
He's aged a bit. A little bit. And wasn't he like the gym guy back in the day, back in 2012? Yeah. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour. They've got the aerial shots of Trump. It looks like a festival, honestly, the way that they're covering it. Make sure you check out our newsletter, Substack, Chapter and Verse. That's where you can find it. And I have all of the stuff that you can. We send it out every day. There's stuff that comes out every day. Lots of good stuff. That was Paul Ryan who was speaking just then. Yeah, he has aged a little bit. And he was saying that he, in the soundbite, is not a culture war guy. And if I could be frank, I disagree with his take on that because he doesn't seem to place a lot of emphasis on the idea of a culture war. And as I have said, and so many other people have said over the years, everything, regardless of whether you like it or not, everything that is political is downstream from culture. Culture is where it happens first. And then after that, it's entirely political. Then it turns into policy and legislative battles, et cetera, et cetera. And that is, I think, incredibly important to realize. And I also think that him not wanting to focus on culture is one of the reasons why they weren't successful in 2012. And the culture war that he's talking about is what they're seeing with the Republicans in the Republican Party now. As someone who, and you guys know, and the only reason anybody knows about it is because I told them, I was raised by Southern Democrats in Southern Missouri. They're like lunch pail union folk, right? So, you know, you're in union, whether it was working in mines or working in working in auto manufacturing, everybody was in a union. So that's, you know, just how you're raised. I legit did not meet a Republican until I went to college. I literally did not meet. I didn't know It wasn't something, and also it was weird because it was like politics wasn't something that you just talked about like that and made to identify who was what. Everybody was, it's like everybody I knew was Democrat, right? And so when I, the more with the more I grew and the more that I learned, obviously I learned new ideas and learned how I wasn't always entirely either satisfied or felt comfortable with things because they just didn't logically make sense. But I remember seeing that the left, they understood culture and arts and entertainment and how that is more than A&E. It's about information distribution, diet of media consumption, information consumption. Republicans now understand it. And for the life of me, I don't understand why there is a strain within the GOP that thinks that having a culture battle is a bad thing, because it is that thinking that has kept Republicans from creating a big tent, a coalition, and forging ahead successfully. It's why we've fallen behind in a lot of areas. When I helped start the second wave of the Tea Party, this was like way back in 2008, everything that we did in terms of organization was online first. Conservatives were so successful on social media that they had to change the way that everything operated in the back end in order to suppress that. And we understood it, and it was like just beating our head against the wall, trying to get them to follow and understand it. I remember when with Romney Ryan in 2012, they came out, remember it was literally called Orca something, the program that they came out with to register voters, and it collapsed. Oh, it was horrible, and it didn't work. And it, oh my gosh, it cost a lot. I think it cost votes. They were very far behind on stuff, but that was you know, they weren't early adopters. Let's just put it like that. They weren't early adopters, and so this to hear that being said, I just feel like you don't understand the electorate, and you don't understand the issue. Because look for the Bud Light thing. This isn't just about a culture. This isn't about someone's aesthetic outside of the professional sphere or political sphere or whatever. What you're seeing is culture being manipulated and used to erode parental sovereignty over children. What you're seeing is culture being used and manipulated to diminish women's presence in real space. Culture is being used to diminish natural rights. Culture is being used to elevate really actual discrimination that they call equity. These are all cultural things that are turning into policy battles. How are you? You're too late if you show up to fight the policy. You're too late. And you're doomed to lose. It is incredibly important. People like me have been screaming this for 2 decades. It's incredibly important. Case in point, the White House thing. So I told you earlier that the White House, because we were talking about how they had that pride thing, right, on the South Lawn. Well, the White House, they issued a statement to the New York Post, and they said that they were uninviting, or that Rose Montoya, the man who identifies as a woman, is now banned and is persona non grata. They said it was inappropriate and disrespectful. This is not a win. And here's why. It's not a win because they think it's inappropriate and disrespectful that someone was being topless there at the White House. They think it was inappropriate and disrespectful because it embarrassed the Biden administration. That's why. You embarrassed the Biden administration, so now you are persona non grata. It's not because they disagreed with what this guy did. It's because he embarrassed the Biden administration. Who should have known better, by the way, that something like this was going to happen? But that's what this is. They were mad because it created a headache for Joe. Mad because it created a headache for them. Mad because they ended up losing some control over the narrative. And so now they reached out and they punished these people. That's what this is in response to. But it hasn't changed their position. They're not suddenly agreeing with you on decency. They're not doing any of that. Now, one of the things that's interesting, I have this. Let me pull this up because I believe that I think this was a red state piece. We were talking about the 17 recordings. Seems like that's pretty a pretty big deal. We had Chuck Grassley who came out and revealed it and said that there were 17 different recordings, 15 with Hunter, two of them with Joe Biden when he was vice president. Pretty big deal. You haven't really heard a lot from the media about this. And now, as Red State says in an exclusive, Burisma founder Mykola Zolakevsky, who was the one who apparently allegedly bribed Joe and Hunter Biden, is an SVR asset. An SVR is the intelligence, Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service. So it's an SVR asset. So just to recap, the Burisma executive, who apparently bribed by millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions, and millions of dollars, Joe and Hunter Biden, in exchange for assistance in getting the Ukrainian prosecutor Viktor Shokin fired, is reportedly an asset of Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service. Just saying. Let's read into this more, okay? According to, and this is, Jennifer Van Laar over at Red State does a very good job on this stuff. She writes that, and this is the founder, Mykola Zolakevsky. They said that the intel community has a high degree of confidence in their, our U.S. intel community has a high degree of confidence in their assessment of Zolakevsky. As VR. This is not a new assessment. They said that apparently they knew this under Obama. Or Zolakevsky was an SVR. They knew it under Obama. Obama was briefed on it. Joe Biden and Victoria Nuland were briefed on it as well. Victoria Nuland was a diplomat who was undersecretary of state for political affairs. Kind of a big deal, you think? So they've known about it that whole time. And so the foreign national that's mentioned in this FD 1023 form not only claimed to have bribed Hunter and Joe, it's compromised by Russians. Cain, oh my gosh, how many times did we hear Mueller is coming? Mueller is coming. I was told because of my Second Amendment advocacy that somehow Bob Mueller was going to come for me. And I'm like, well, I'm in Dallas, so come at me. Cash me outside. How about now? And never happened, but I was told that a million times. I had been sent mail to my P.O. box, you know, Mueller's coming, all this other stuff. Oh, so where? There's more evidence here than there ever was for any of that. Yep. So the Russians have compromised. The way that I look at it, can you tell me if I'm just going too high on this hog? Right. The Russians have compromised Biden. So everything that he does in Ukraine now is suspect.
Yes, I agree. 100%.
Where's our special prosecutor?
Oh, man. We need one. Bad.
I have many opinions on this.
I mean, we have the documents from the banking, from the shell companies and the funneling of the money. We have that. Apparently there's audio tapes now.
And by the way, Larry, our friend Larry from Vegas, just reminded me that Biden approved the 40th Ukraine aid package, bringing the total sent to $40 billion. Oh, my gosh. Another $40 billion. Well, that's the more than $40 billion. This latest package is $325 million.
I thought we just raised the debt ceiling because we were trying to pay the bills we already incurred. What is he doing?
But Joe has got to do the bidding of the Ruskies because they got these Well, if we all know it now, then why can't they just, you know, he's worried about penalty. Joe's worried about the penalty. It kind of makes me wonder if that's one of the reasons why they want him to keep running for president, because they think it's some kind of protection against litigation. Maybe. And being charged. I'm just speculating out loud, but, you know, it just kind of makes me wonder. Because this is a pretty, it's a pretty big deal. So Zolchevsky was Ukraine's ecology and national resources minister. We're talking about this story about the 17 audio recordings that they have on Joe and Hunter, and how 15 with Hunter, 2 with Joe also, this when he was VP, and how now it came out, and this is Red State, the Burisma executive is apparently an SVR, that's the Russia Foreign Intelligence Service asset, and it's been known by our U.S. intelligence since the Obama days, and he was apparently briefed on it, as well as Victoria Nuland, so they all knew it. And Zolchevsky was the one who was paying out the bribes. And she was Ukraine's Ecology National Resources Minister, Deputy Secretary of National Security and Defense Council. And also this Devin Archer was named to the Burisma board, Hunter Biden's business partner. He was subpoenaed, too, during all of this. So all this stuff, it's all coming out. All coming out. But all you'll hear is about Trump and this. Like I said, an unequal application of the law promotes lawlessness.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, rounding out this third hour of radio. Trump apparently is going to enter his plea. He's at the arraignment right now. It looks like a festival outside. I mean, it's Miami, though. Everything always looks happy.
No violence.
And, like, sunny. Yeah, look at all those violent people. Oh, my gosh. Mega. And what it was always said. But he went in, and they had the arraignment. He's expected to enter his plea, and then we'll see. We'll go from there, as Andy McCarthy was saying. And I highly encourage you to go and watch. I'll send it out. I'm going to send it out in the newsletter probably later tonight. But he explained it very well. Exactly what, like, the biggest questions that I had about the charges, and also about the real double standard, the legal double standard here, which is incredibly important, because I think that helps people kind of understand what we're looking at. And he's he's a right-leaning guy, obviously, but he's very clinical about this, and he likes to be realistic, and this is why I encourage you to be realistic. No, this is not about your thoughts on the charges are not a reflection of your thoughts on the candidate. You want to be realistic about what you're facing so you can adequately deal with it. To me, it seems cruel to lie to yourself about the situation, because how can you be expected to accurately handle the situation and resolve it if you're not even going to be, if you don't want to be honest with yourself about what it is you're dealing with? So sometimes it's uncomfortable, but we got to do what we got to do, right? So we have, make sure you sign up for the newsletter, because I got all that coming out for you. That's chapter and verse over at Substack. Today in Stupidity Came.
All right. It is Karine Jean-Pierre. Here she is today.
She's your favorite.
Bragging. Okay. Bragging about prices being down for everybody. Are you feeling that? Prices?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
All down?
I feel like that.
Stuff?
Uh-huh.
Energy prices fell 11% over the last year. Gas prices are down by $1.40 from their peak after Putin's invasion.
Oh, okay, so they're still blaming it on the Putin invasion. But hey, Carol Roth put it best, because inflation isn't down. It's inflation growth that's down. And although that's a good thing, it's still crippling for the middle class. It's still crippling.
They're feeling
for those
that
people.
Invisible
yeah,
tax.
Exactly. So
they really are.
Stop with that.
Yeah,
gaslighting.
Let's not use that language. Yeah, let's not. All right, folks, sign up for chapter and verse over at Substack. Find me on social media. I'm all over Facebook, YouTube. We'll have that interview out with Andy McCarthy to you subscribers. And that does it for us today. Back behind the mic with you tomorrow.